and Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Okay, I am fired up. Now, let me get right to this. Tell you what you need to know about this latest revelation, that it was none other than the campaign of one Hillary Rodham Clinton behind the now infamous Trump dossier. That's a French word. It's spelled dossier. But they say dossier. So I just want to make that small, slight bit of clarification for you if needed. You remember, by the way, what this document was? I think it was 34, 35 pages of complete drivel. One of the more salacious tidbits contained in this dossier about Trump was that he traveled to Moscow at one point in time, stayed in the presidential suite in a hotel that had once been the temporary domicile of Barack Obama. And having had, as it is alleged in this document, having had the pleasure of sleeping in the same bed as Obama, Trump then hired some ladies of ill repute to urinate on the bed. Well, you, at the time, and I remember vividly talking to you about this, and I said, this isn't worth the paper it's printed on, because everybody who knows Trump knows what an obsessive germaphobe he is. I couldn't see Trump and a Russian hooker. First of all, you had me there, okay? That's a non-starter. And the idea of somebody urinating or in, I mean, just this is okay. You can call Trump whatever you want, but this is just not. This was so crazy. It was crazy then. It's crazy now. But it's confirmed. There's about $9 million, and I'll tell you exactly how it is. The DNC, it's not just the Hillary Clinton campaign, and this is very important. The Democratic National Committee paid $3.6 million, and Hillary Rodham Clinton paid, the campaign paid $5.6 million to a lawyer. It's always a lawyer, right? It wasn't Sweet James, no. It was Mark Elias, and he's with a big firm, a big national firm called Perkins Coie. And they're based in Seattle, but they do a lot of political work. And I'll explain, this is where everybody gets lost. Well, Sam, if he hired a firm, he'll hire a law firm, that all seems very above board. I mean, isn't this what this is politics, right? I mean, you hire a lawyer, and that lawyer hires an investigator, and you find out dirt on your opponent. Not so fast, and I'll explain. There's by the three reasons generally why candidates will do this type of thing. And here, you know, Hillary. Oh, and by I don't believe for a minute that she didn't know about this. You know, people are saying, well, Hillary didn't know about it. Of course, she knew about it. Okay, what is $9 million spent on this? And Hillary didn't know. Give me a freaking break. Yeah, no way. No way. She knew. But here are the reasons. When you hire a lawyer, you get this tremendous advantage of attorney-client privilege. And when you're up to no good, that is one fine thing to have. You remember how Obama and Michelle Obama, how they would hire staff members that were lawyers? And then when there was any type of investigation into anything, I mean, Hillary did the same thing. They always hired lawyers as staff members and tried to claim that they were also serving in the capacity of counsel. Cheryl Mills, ring a bell? Anyway, the purpose behind that is if I hire you and you're not a lawyer, if I hire some firm out there that's does opposition research. Everything that all the business that we conduct is subject to a subpoena. And attorney-client privilege can protect that. So that's one reason why I hire a firm. But what's turning out, it's also a great way to hide what your intentions are, what it is that you're actually trying to do. And that is why today an FEC complaint, a Federal Election Commission complaint, was filed against Hillary Clinton's campaign, alleging basically non-disclosure. When you have campaign funds, very strictly regulated, You have to line item where every dollar went goes. And here what happened is she just line itemed this money as legal fees. It just went to the lawyer. But the lawyer then spent it digging up dirt on Trump. And here is where this thing gets absolutely bananas. It turns out that this dossier was put together by a guy, Christopher Steele, who was a former British intelligence officer. This guy, this dossier ended up, it went straight to the Obama administration. It wasn't just used in the campaign. It went straight to the Obama administration, where it was relied upon as the basis for the FISA warrants, those famous FISA warrants that led to a number of things, right? Led to wire trumping. That's a new word. Came up with that. Wire trump. It's kind of like a wiretap. It's not a wiretap if you talk to the New York Times, but it does result in the incidental collection of private conversations at or about Trump Tower. Wire trumping. That, in turn, led to unmasking. Remember this? Because the dossier, in part, makes some connection to a Trump associate who has ties to Russia. So what happened was is they got a FISA warrant to tap this guy. And this guy was talking to Trump and to other people inside of Trump Tower, which ended up in the incidental collection. And I wish you could see my air quotes. The incidental, right? The oops. Oh, my goodness. Whoopsie daisy. We got Trump on a wiretap. And then, oh, my gosh. Whoopsie daisy. We unmasked his identity in these reports. You know why this, and you're hearing a lot of denials about, how, oh, no. This dossier, okay, maybe Hillary authored it, whatever they ordered it, fine, dirty tricks, but it was not used for the FISA warrant. Well, back before any of this blew about Hillary, back when it was there was just a suspicion, okay, just a suspicion of this, we all knew. I mean, there's enough circumstantial facts to lead back to the DNC and to the Hillary camp. But before any of that, when there was still plausible deniability, CNN was hot on the trail. And you know, I'm just going to let you know, I know CNN right now is hashtag facts first. But you know that if CNN was all over this, okay, then there's a good chance that there might just be some credibility to it if they're reporting on it. This is back in, let me see here, 4/18 is April 18th. Published on CNN.com, the FBI last year used a dossier of allegations of Russian ties to Donald Trump's campaign as part of the justification to win approval to, are you ready for this? Secretly monitor a Trump associate. This, according to U.S. officials briefed on the investigation. I'm not reading from Breitbart. I'm not reading from Daily Caller. I'm not reading from the National Review. I'm not reading from Alex Jones, okay? This, my friends, is from CNN.com. You see how this... I hope the hairs on the back of your neck are beginning to go up, because what essentially happened here is Hillary, as part of a dirty tricks campaign, authors a really worthless piece of garbage... If I'm going to say dossier, I'll say garbage, this horrible dump of a report on Trump, then secretly disseminates it to all her friends in government, right? I mean, who is she after all? Secretary of State. Disseminates it to all her friends in the Obama administration. Maybe this stink goes all the way up to Obama himself. And on this basis, a full-scale investigation is launched into Trump-Russia collusion. We call this, as attorneys, will call this a fruit of the poisonous tree. And it's a doctrine in the law that has to deal with how you originally get your first warrant, how you originally get permission to investigate a crime from the very beginning. And if the cops... This is big stuff. This is right now, in my opinion, is wounding a presidency and hampering an effort for the executive branch to operate, to function. So in the grand scheme of things, the results here are huge. But if you're, I don't know, if you're a burglar and the cops suspect you of being a burglar and they go to the officer investigating you goes to a judge to get a warrant. And he uses some crap dossier compiled by a clown who, by the way, was hired by your ex-wife who hates your guts and produced some nonsense about you. No, this is I think this fits. This works. I mean, and on that basis, goes to the judge and gets a warrant. They go to your house and lo and behold, they find, well, you really weren't involved with the burglary, but you know, this friend that was over at your house, he has a crack pipe. So your friend goes away. Now, I know it sounds really long and arduous, but that's fruit of the poisonous tree. You could, if he's got a good lawyer, he'll challenge it all the way back and get the thing thrown out. And that's where we are right now. But we can't get it thrown out because, no, because we've appointed a special investigator. The net result of this, the fruit of this, is Robert frickin' Mueller, who is out to politically avenge this entire situation. It's no longer about Trump-Russia. Now it's about the entire Obama administration. This, you know, the history of this dossier, by the way, about because the money trail on this is fascinating. Before Hillary and the DNC were paying for it, you know who was? Aha! An unnamed GOP donor. A donor, if you will. And we don't know, by the way, for which candidate, but they were paid for by a GOP donor helping a particular candidate during the GOP primary. The candidate, by the way, safe to assume, was not the winning candidate, Donald Trump. It was one of the losers. It could have been Jeb, exclamation point. It could have been Maverick McCain. It could have been Marco Rubio. Some people are speculating that it was Rubio. But at any rate, first the GOP, then the GOP, then, you know, the primary's over, so party's over. But somebody keenly wanted it picked up. The way I read it is that somebody in the GOP handed this over to the Democrats, handed it over to Hillary. This is epic level sabotage. Now, Hillary handled it all the way through October when they stopped paying this Christopher Steele guy, at which point the FBI, this right here, if there's nothing else than you remember from this, think about it. You've got a guy who produces a report that anyone who knows two things about Donald Trump will tell you on its face is absolute drivel, is absolute nonsense. Could have literally been written by a squirrel with rabies frothing at the mouth. And the FBI, led by who? James Comey, sits down with these people, sits down with Fusion GPS, the company that's facilitating all of this with Christopher Steele, and they come up with an arrangement. And the only reason the arrangement blows up is because the light of day comes on this thing and along, you know, BuzzFeed publishes the article and the rest is history. This is stunning. It's by your tax dollars, right? How do you feel about that? And we are yet led to believe that at every turn, the FBI, the CIA with Brennan, the DNI with Clapper, that all these organizations, these intelligence gathering agencies working on all these investigations, working under the august Barack Hussein Obama, that all of these people are just, they're above politics. They're above politics. That's what we've been told. That they are these guys are basically faithful civil servants out there. And remember, I mean, how offended were they all when Trump, you know, dare throw some shade at the intelligence community. I mean, this is just beyond the pale. You know what I find insulting if I was a member of the intelligence community? That my government, that my bosses are paying some clown $9 million while I take home, you know, if I'm lucky, $75K, work my A-money money off, and they're paying a guy $9 million to produce absolute garbage, a collection of memos on nothing, based on no facts. It's stunning. It is really stunning when you back away from this. I'm going to tell you, this is why I'm heated. So I need to, there's other details here. And also a little bit about the timeline. The timeline is interesting. One, a couple of dates in particular, going back to the original FISA warrant request. I'll tell you what CNN was saying about it as well. So don't go anywhere. All right. We're going to get through this. Promise that. 2 hours tonight. So buckle up, get ready, get set, go. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right. Welcome back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I got so excited, as always, that I forgot to give you the phone number, 800-222-5222, and my email, sam@samnation.com. So in discussing this bit of, I think, bombshell news that the Hillary Clinton campaign was behind the Trump dossier, yes, I understand and I explain this. There was a GOP donor initially that got the project kicked off. But I don't know where it would have gotten. I don't think that the actual dossier itself was submitted until quite a bit later. And the other thing is that the DNC was the one that hired Steele, Christopher Steele, the former British intelligence officer who is with the firm Fusion GPS. By the way, Congress is keen on figuring out what I was explaining earlier. If this dossier, this nonsense drivel, was actually used as the basis for any warrants, can't call it wiretapping. We call it Trump tapping, our new word. But anyway, whatever it was, intelligence gathering. Because that's a problem. And we heard about it over and over again. It's to the point that CNN is talking about it. We have that CNN clip, don't we? We have Evan Perez back in April 2017. Evan Perez talking about the FBI use of the dossier, and here he is on Wolf Blitzer. Again, this is all the way back in April of 2017, before there was any, you know, real allegation that that Hillary Clinton was behind this.
Well, Wolf, U.S. officials tell CNN that last year, the FBI used a dossier of allegations of Russian ties to Donald Trump's campaign as part of the justification to get approval to secretly monitor Trump associate Carter Page. Now, those sources say that the FBI director, James Comey, has cited the dossier in some of his briefings to members of Congress in recent weeks as one of the sources of information that the Bureau used to bolster its investigation. Now, this includes approval from the secret court that oversees the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, known as FISA, to monitor Page's communications.
They are so you-know-what, okay? All right. You get what happened here? It was a setup by Hillary from the get-go. This whole thing was cooked up by Hillary Clinton, and worse yet, because it was co-funded by the DNC, by the Democratic National Committee. But do you, by the way, understand how this works? If you've got a sitting U.S. president who is the member of a party, who is the actual head of the party? It's not the chair. It's the president. Now, I don't know. We don't know yet. I'm a cynic, and I'm very skeptical that people high up in an organization don't know what's going on. So when it comes to the campaign, you're telling me it's with great disbelief that I am listening to people on TV today denying that Hillary Clinton knew anything about this. Because when a campaign spends this type of money and is so keenly interested in eliminating only one opponent, that's it. You're fighting for the biggest job in your life. You have one opponent. Yes, yes, she underestimated him for sure. But you're telling me she didn't know about this? Nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. She did. And how did that dossier go from Hillary Clinton's campaign to the hands of James Comey, to the hands of Clapper, to the hands of Brennan at the DNI and at the CIA, respectively? Huh. It is the use and abuse of power, of state power, to eliminate a political opponent. You want Watergate? You want Watergate? That's a freaking half-baked crap burglary compared to this. This is such a tremendous scandal that, mark my words, you haven't seen the end of this. And to get lectured by any of these people, the high-minded, the augustness of the office and the disrespect to Donald Trump, nonsense. Don't buy any of this nonsense. These people are all pathological. Okay, got to go to the news. We got John Wolfe up next, Sam Rojofsky back after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, the voice of reason, the voice of common sense, here live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Robbie reminded me of something that I think in the context of these latest revelations vis-a-vis the Trump dossier, now clearly the result of efforts by Hillary Clinton and the DNC to discredit Trump and to set up the basis for a state prosecution, investigation, and witch hunt into Trump and his associates. Reminded me of something right at the end of, the election day, the very next day. I can't remember when it was, but Hillary Clinton got up and she gave her concession speech and she apologized to Obama. And I thought at the time, well, I kind of get it. I mean, but it's not like Obama did help her. I always felt like there was absolutely zero love lost between them. But you see this entire collusive effort regarding this dossier, how it was used, the subsequent engagement of the FBI to help the author of this nonsense crap to continue his work after Hillary Clinton ran out of money and couldn't pay the continue the effort. This was all supposed to disappear when she won as president. This was all supposed to go poof, get lost. There was never supposed to be a Trump administration. She was supposed to win this thing. And when she didn't, exposing thereby Obama, potentially Obama himself. I was kind of playing around with that last segment, but I thought of this now. My mind reflected on it. I remember how, just laconic she was up there. She just looked at it. She says, I am sorry I have let you down. But the implication here potentially is huge. They both knew. They both knew that they were deep up to their you-know-whatsies in this scandal. And the only way to ensure it never saw the light of day was to never have Trump in the White House, to never have Trump at the levers of power, to never have any Trump loyalists looking under the bed to see where the skeletons were buried. So now we're finding skeletons. Not to mention, you've got some very enterprising members of Congress looking to find out what happened here. And I'm telling you right now, the critical thing is, was this dossier used? Was this opposition research, what do you want to call it? Was this crap dredged up by Hillary used to then start the investigation that has not yet ended and is continuing into Trump and his associates? Listen here to what Trey Gowdy said today to Fox News, Bill Hemmer. Listen to this. This is what Congress is concerned with.
Bill, it is relevant who paid for the dossier. It's much more relevant who relied upon it. So my focus has always been whether or not the Department of Justice and the FBI relied upon an unsourced CI document to launch a counterintelligence investigation. So I want to know whether the nation's premier law enforcement agency relied on a document that looks like the National Enquirer prepared it.
Well, can you answer that question today? Did the FBI rely on it?
You know, Bill, I think I can, but I want to be able to prove it. And the fact that the Department of Justice, not the Obama Department of Justice, the Trump Department of Justice, will not give Congress access to that information says a lot about why we are looking into the Department of Justice and decisions they made and did not make. We should not have to ask twice whether or not the FBI relied upon a dossier to launch a counterintelligence investigation.
And I'm going to get into this when we come back, because the Gowdy's point is excellent. Why is Trump's administration, Justice Department, obstructing justice? And it all comes down to Sessions and to some critical Sessions, critical things about Sessions that I think go to the heart of where this entire thing went south. Mueller, the special investigator, special prosecutor, should never have been brought in. Sessions should never have recused himself. I'm going to explain why when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Rejofsky here for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner. Listen, if you've been in a car accident, motorcycle accident, boat accident, Titanic disaster, can happen, airplane accident, dog bites you, maybe an ostrich nipped you in the rear, whatever the case is, whatever happened to you, if you're injured, don't go at it alone. Don't try to do it on your own and get some money out of somebody. Just, you know what? Call attorney sweet James Bergner. James will help you. Okay? There's no recovery, no fee. Doesn't cost you anything. Okay? James will do everything, work on your case, the whole firm, everybody working, and only pay him at the end. Another thing. Consultations, free. It's easy. You just call up and you talk to him, and he's really easy to talk to. He's a real guy. So one phone call could literally change your life, make a difference. Do it. Don't hesitate. And if you're a loved one, if you've got a friend, family member, they're going through something like this, be the smart guy in the room, okay? Or gal. Give them the advice. Give them the phone number. Better yet, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. That's the website. All right, Sam Nation, we're back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. More on this dossier compiled by Christopher Steele. Now we know at the behest of Hillary Clinton and the campaign and also the DNC. Now, the DNC, I keep coming back to this. The DNC is irrelevant in all of this because they are an organ of they're an organ that embodies or is part of every single elected Democrat that's in office as a member of the DNC. This is big. This wasn't just a Hillary Clinton campaign thing. This was the entire Democratic Party. And at the time, they were the party in power, right? The executive branch was held by Barack Obama. He was the president. He's in charge of the FBI. He's in charge of the Department of Justice. He's in charge of the CIA, of the DNI, of every one of these agencies that played a role into turning this into a catastrophic headache. You know, Yeah, well, look, I mean, if you're Paul Manafort and you get a pre-dawn raid and you've got the, you know, SWAT team showing up at your door at, you know, 5:55 in the morning, that's kind of a big deal. And it all stems from this, from total rubbish. But the part of me here now that I played the Trey Gowdy clip, the congressman who is leading the investigative effort into figuring out whether or not this dossier was in fact used as the basis for any FISA warrants or any of the intel gathering of Trump and his associates. One thing he said, he said, look, we're getting resisted by not the Obama Department of Justice, but the Trump Department of Justice. They don't want to turn over these sources. This is yet another frustrating, for me, hair-pulling. You ought to see me right now. I am agitated. Yet another example of what the frickin' A is Jeff Sessions doing. That guy, you know his problem. His first problem is that he's a lawyer. What do I mean by this? I needed an opportunity to talk about Jeff Sessions. A lot of other stuff going on. Let me tell you, all going back to the original recusal, and the original recusal happened because of the investigation that started because of this dossier. So this is why we're talking about it. This was a domino chain effect. It was like a Rube Goldberg project of, you know, investigatory F-ups. We're here today because of that recusal. And that recusal happened because Sessions is a lawyer. I'm going to explain this. I have to develop this for you. I'm a lawyer. I know. I went to law school, and I know attorneys who are like Jeff Sessions. They are obsessed with doing the right thing. They are pedantic in their observation of every rule, of every line being crossed, every T. What do you know what I'm saying? Line dotted, T crossed. That's the expression. Thank you. I screw up every idiom that comes my way. I am an idiom idiot. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you should see my mother. My mother is even worse. I mean, everything she turns upside down. And she's a chemist. I always tell her, I hope you didn't try pouring, you know, water into acid. No, it works the other way around. Anyway, all right, I'm going to explain this. You got to understand. I'm going to get you in the mind of Jeff Sessions as I think I understand it. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
All right, frustrated Trumpists everywhere are wringing their hands over Sessions. All right, they've got, and it goes back to the recusal, but now there's a report that Sessions is refusing, the Department of Justice, the Trump Department of Justice, that is led by the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, is refusing to turn over to congressional investigators documentation related to this dossier. And it's kind of important because the Department of Justice ought to have records of what information was given to the FISA court, the super secret panel of judges that decide whether or not you get to spy, basically in a circumvented way, on American citizens. I know. It's not exactly like that, but the net effect of it all was that U.S. people sitting in U.S. on U.S. territory had their conversations listened to and recorded. So right before the break, I started to explain with Jeff Sessions. There are certain lawyers that are so obsessively pedantic about following every rule and being Boy Scouts that they, in law school, they are the most annoying sons of you-know-what. And they're always snitches, right? They're the ones that turn you in over every little thing. I never got turned in about anything. But it always mystified me. In law school, there was an honor committee. And I hated the whole concept of this. Bothers me. Because there's an encouragement to turn students in to this to this, you know, honor committee. And it could be about something as small as, I don't know, looking at your cell phone during an exam, you know, just stuff like that. I witnessed people cheating in class. I would never dream of turning them in. Never. I'm a lot of things. I'm not a snitch. Why? Why? Because snitches get stitches. Everybody knows that. God, I'm not going to. No, because you know what? I believe, you know what I believe in? I believe in karma. Okay? So that's my, you know, I let, you know, let that person do what they're doing. It doesn't affect me. Okay. But you get these pedantic type lawyers, and that I get this impression from Sessions that he really is priding himself on being this independent, you know, independent organ within the Trump administration. And it's getting to the point where he's obstructing a legitimate investigation. It's on Trump. I've said it before, but Sessions needs a kick in the A money money. Or he's got to get booted. Because this is not, you cannot, look at the dirty tricks that Obama did. Look at the dirty tricks that Hillary did. They were not above anything. And all we want here, all we're asking for is a Department of Justice that investigates Hillary, that investigates Uranium One, that investigates Hillary and Bill Clinton ties to Russia, that investigates Obama's complicity in all this nonsense. But no, we are too good for that. We're above it. Who does this remind you of? I just hit my notepad. I'm so upset. You know who this is? This is George W. Bush all the frick over again. Remember Bush? No, we are above this. Remember, Clinton vandalized the executive branch. His people went through, trashed the executive branch. Clinton's stole furnishings from the White House. These people they're like gypsies. I mean, they stole furnishings right out of the White House that didn't belong to them, that belonged to we the people, you know, you and I. And, and Bush at every turn just... Oh, we're bigger than this. We're better than this. We're this, we're that. And that in yesterday's news, tying this all back to yesterday, you know, you remember the big deal with Flake, you know, and talking about how Trump is debasing this country. You know, that's really what that is establishment code for going along, getting along and being, you know, I don't know, accommodating. And you know what we're doing right now? We're uncovering the debasement that already happened under Obama. And it's far worse, far more sinister, far more abusive than anything that is alleged to have happened with Donald J. Trump. Makes me sick. Oh, yeah. When we come back, I'm going to get into some news about Flake. Didn't even take a day and he's already making future plans. You'll be fascinated by this. Okay, don't go anywhere. We got John Wolfe up next with the news, and I will be back for another hour.
News. Talk. Evolve. KABC. Los Angeles. Orange County. A Cumulus station.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com. We are here, busy, making radio great again. What's today? Wednesday. So we are less than a week away from Halloween. You know this? I think probably this is the weekend for all the big Halloween like costume parties. I know enough. I've been invited to a few of them. Truth be told, I really hate dressing up. I'm a bit Scroogey when it comes to this. I don't like. Oh, face paint's the worst. Like, I've never been face painted. I would just die. I mean, the idea of paint on my face. I don't know how that Gene Simmons guy does it. But you see the controversy right now about Halloween costumes. There's some Brooklyn mother that says it's offensive for white girls to dress up as Moana for Halloween. My daughter, my youngest, is going to be Jasmine. I'm very proud of her early cultural appropriation. I feel like if you start them young, then they do this naturally. This is called conservative parenting, where we don't give a crap about what culture the costume came from. Is it a cute costume? And the girl wants to be a princess. She likes Jasmine. It's not even, she doesn't even mean any offense. She looks up to Jasmine. Maybe, you know, maybe my daughter wants to be a Persian princess, and that's okay. I got a picture today, though. Funny enough, she got to wear her costume. She goes to ballet class. And today was their last class before Halloween. So they let the kids come in their costumes to class. And so she wore her Princess Jasmine outfit, and apparently had a dance in it, which, well, they're pretty cute. You know, when they're four, the dancing isn't anything too technical. I think the teachers are really happy if they can get them to walk in a straight line. But yeah, anyway, what am I going to do? I thought I already told you guys. I'm going to wear a costume here on air so you all can see it. That's a joke. Can somebody laugh in there? No, I'm going to do it, and I hope it doesn't mess with the sound, because I'm going to wear an Indian headdress. But in an effort to cover myself politically, I'm going to put a name tag on that says Elizabeth Warren. Then I thought, you know, I thought that Tim Conway could give me a sticker that says "Follow me to Morongo," so I could put that on my back. I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box. It's about coming up with a creative costume, and so I know I'm seeing it on Instagram right now. A lot of my friends have some really, really great costumes. The big thing right now, I'm telling you, I'm just following the trends. I think the big thing is to dress up if you've got a significant other, to dress up thematically. With your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, or life partner, whatever it is. Have you noticed that, Robbie? That's like the thing to do, and that you show up at these parties, these couple parties, in costume, and you know the prize of the night goes to the couple that comes dressed. You know, I think the best thing to do as a tandem is to come dressed as a moose, because that way you get four legs, and you know, put the wife in the back. Anyway, all right, talking about the day's news, Bill's dying in there. Anyway, speaking of bad ideas, guess who's running for president? We think. Okay, by the way, everybody and their dog is running for president in 2020. They're not officially announcing, because the day that you officially announce, there's all these rules and regulations about it. So nobody officially announces until they absolutely have to. But you've got a number of people jumping into the fray. The Disney guy, Iger, right? Is it Iger? I never can pronounce anybody's name. But anyway, so he's there's some noise about him. Also, Mark Cuban has made some noise. He says that he would probably run as a Republican, and I don't think he's going to run at all. But guess who is making presidential noises after his absolutely phenomenal, just show-stopping performance on the floor of the Senate last night? Yeah, the Flakester. Jeff Flake, he wants to run. He's going to challenge Trump. And by the way, I was watching The Five today on Fox. I did not grab the audio. But the lament on there, as it was being, Williams? No, Juan Williams. Yeah, he's on there. And he's talking about how, Look, these were the Trump and Bannon are chasing the moderate Republicans out of the party. And then his point was they're not even moderate. They're 96-97% conservative rated Republicans, and they're being chased out of the party by conspiracy theorist kooks. And that's the conventional thinking out there right now. The conventional wisdom is that you have these extremist Republicans that are coming in primaries and they're chasing out with tails tucked between their legs the likes of Bob Corker and Jeff Flake, et cetera, et cetera. And Luther being Luther Strange down in Alabama. So I will explain to you this is nonsense. This is total nonsense. You listen to this program because you want the straight scoop. Jeff Flake is a man without a party because he abandoned the Republican Party. He abandoned the promises he made when he ran for Senate. It has nothing at all whatsoever, nada, zip, to do with Trump or Bannon. Ben Shapiro had a funny thing. He said Flake had problems before Trump was a gleam in Bannon's eye. I thought that was a funny line. I had to have to give him credit for it. Funny because it's true. There was no hope of a Trump. And I always say this. The big misnomer right now that all these guys have is they have to pick a boogeyman. You know, that's what the Democrats did, right? They have to explain away their disastrous loss, so they come up with the myth of Trump Russia. Russian interference gave the election to Trump. Without it, Hillary would have prevailed and all would have been right in the universe. But these Republican politicos are no different. They're absolutely no different. Oh, so you know yesterday. Okay, so I have to get back to to follow this all, make it clear. Flake, Jeff Flake, yesterday on the Senate floor, delivered a soliloquy attacking Donald Trump. Said Donald Trump is debasing the country, is ruining the country, is the reason that he cannot face his daughters. It was pathetic is what it was. Yesterday on air, I said it was, pettiness masquerading as virtue. And I'm going to explain one more thing to you. This is the idea, right, that Trump cost him, the reason that a reasonable, smart, compassionate, fair Republican can't make it in today's political climate. You know what? The problem with Corker, and the problem with McCain, and the problem with Flake, and all these guys that are losing out, that, you know, if McCain was facing re-election, you know, next year, he'd be out too. Okay? All these guys, their problem is that they went full rhino. You're never supposed to go full rhino. You don't do it. Republican in name only, if you're new to the program. Yeah. If they want to do one thing, like collaborate on immigration reform, amnesty, or they want to do gun control or anything like that, you can pick one issue, but you can't do all 10 of them. You can't basically end up becoming Chuck Schumer's bestie. You might as well just caucus with the Democrats. And you can't do it when you come from a conservative state like, I don't know, Arizona or gasp, Tennessee. What are these bozos thinking? And the best part of it is as they are making martyrs out of themselves and complaining how Trump is debasing this country and complaining about the ruthlessness and the lack of civility in today's political climate. They are the ones that went to Washington and broke every promise that they made the American people. And more importantly, that they made their voters at home. This is not, folks, this is not rocket science. So when you're talking and you're tomorrow at work, you're going to be talking to somebody. They're going to say, oh, man, there's Trumpster, this guy, he's ruining the country and he's making everything horrible. And oh, this brave Jeff Flake. You know, it in Jeff's view, Flake, in his mind, he thinks that he delivered a hero speech yesterday. He thinks that his speech was just the cat's meow. And you know why? Because he is now the darling of the media and all the reporters are clamoring to speak with him. And, oh, that was great. Oh, because guess what? He is a useful tool in their predetermined, prefabricated agenda talking points about how Trump is debasing the country, et cetera, et cetera. He's basically just echoing, he's aping the media. So, of course, the media is going to run to him. And it's very flattering. But they're all people inside the Beltway. It's an echo chamber. The word echo chamber, the expression, comes from the idea that you're in this closed environment where all you're hearing are echoes of your own voice. You're not listening to the public out there. You're not listening to the people back home. And Juan Williams and all these other bozos talking on TV, making ungodly sums of money, saying absolutely nothing intelligent. They're getting it all wrong because they're, well, first of all, they're in the same echo chamber. But their idea that the Republican Party has a civil war, have you heard that today? The Republican Party has a civil war. They're breaking apart. It's just a load of nonsense. There's no civil war. The House is passing. You heard it yesterday on the program. I talked about it. 300 bills that the House has voted in. The House is perfectly functional. The House of Representatives is doing its freaking job. The only problem are these dinosaur rhinos in the Senate who are doing literally jack nothing. That's the problem. In fact, don't take it from me. Interestingly enough, here's Representative Duncan Hunter, Republican from California, saying exactly what I am, exactly to the point. Listen to this.
I'm happy with the accomplishments of the Trump administration. I'm happy with the accomplishments of the House of Representatives. I'm not happy with the total lack of anything from the Senate. We couldn't do health care reform. We're finally working on tax reform here, but we have over like 300 bills that we've passed out of the House that are in the Senate that haven't seen the light of day. That's what I think needs to start getting done here. It's not President Trump, it's the Senate.
Yeah. Okay. Yet, what are you hearing? This is, by the way, a response directly to a question, something along the lines of, "Whoa, what? Trump is, you know, if he wants to get anything done, he's got to do X, Y, and Z." If I were Trump, I'd be pretty damn tired of people telling me what I ought to be doing, what I ought not to be doing. Because the fact that Trump is still here in spite of this dossier, in spite of Hillary, in spite of Obama, in spite of James Comey, in spite of a spineless Attorney General Jeff Sessions and allowing his own recusal leading to a special investigator, Trump's surviving all of this. And by the way, Trump did the right thing. Remember some months ago, I spoke to you about his strategy to let McConnell run with the Obamacare reform or repeal. Remember this? And I said at the time, it's a really good thing to allow it was a good thing of Trump to allow McConnell to run with it, to allow the House to run with it. He did the same thing, of course, with Paul Ryan. And the reason is let them fail. They want to be leaders and they want to lead, let them fail. They failed. They failed, especially McConnell, epically. And now they're fighting over what's, you know, over pointing fingers and at the blame. And of course they're going to point at the president. But out of the pieces is going to come a new era. They got to get rid of these do-nothing guys that are so obsessed with decorum and so obsessed with being self-important and so obsessed of being fancy. They're not fulfilling the promises that they made their own voters. And so that is why they aren't going back for re-election. And the idea that Flake could get any traction on the Republican ticket for president is ludicrous. It's literally the funniest thing I heard all day. I saw that and I laughed my A money off. Okay, don't go anywhere. More on these political machinations. An update on George H.W. Bush and the bit of grab a money gate that is going on. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
The New York Post has reported an article with an update on the George H.W. Bush. How do we call this? What do we characterize this? An actress named Heather Lynn said that she was groped by the former president. So the article here says, the title of it, I'm just going to read you the title. George H.W. Bush clarifies why he touches women's butts. That's the actual article of the piece. Okay, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Well, here's what he says. We talked about this last night. This is actress. I don't know her. Apparently, she's in some show. Her name's Heather Lind, and she's accusing. This isn't George W. Bush. This is his dad. Okay, George H.W. Bush. You know, the guy in the wheelchair. So apparently, he may have given her. And I wasn't clear on this last night from the reporting. Oh, the news had just come out. We deal with current events. We don't always have all the facts. But we do go back and correct the record when we do. So apparently he did touch her butt. He might have patted her on the bottom. Now, you know how when you stand behind somebody and you take a photo with them and how you put your hands to the sides and end up, well, because you're not in a wheelchair and you're not a midget, you end up touching people kind of on the small of their back or somewhere on their back. Totally normal behavior, not a sexual assault. Well, Bush is saying, you know, I put my hands out. I can only put them out. So I'm in a wheelchair and that's where they fall. I don't know what to make of this. You guys know I'm no giant Bush fan here, but I don't think he's out to molest actresses. I don't think this is what he does. I think he had his hand out and he patted her on her butt. I don't know what happened here. But he didn't. The actress says that he groped her. I don't think this is a fair characterization of the piece because I remember reading the Instagram post and it wasn't at all clear. It was very oblique, and it just kind of said that she was touched. So this is the statement released by Bush. At age 93, President Bush has been confined to a wheelchair for roughly 5 years. So his arm falls on the lower waist. That's called a butt. The lower waist is a butt. The lower waist of people with whom he takes pictures. To try to put some people at ease, the president routinely tells the same joke. And on occasion, he has patted women's rears in what he intended to be a good-natured manner. you know what? I went over to my wife's great aunt and she's not in the best of health and she was all over me. I don't know. I have a special place in my heart for older people. And at 93, and he was 89 when this incident took place, I give him a pass. I do. And the thing about this that irks me, that truly irks me, is from her post, this woman, this Heather Lind cat, she's talking about how great President Obama was and how da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? I bet you if President Obama was in a wheelchair and his hand ended up on her butt, she would never have complained about it. So, you know, I'm bothered. I'm bothered when we use these type of allegations to wage a war against people that we don't like for other reasons. And actually it'd be good if, you know, be transparent with your bias. I think that plays into this. I do. And you know what I'm referring to, right? She said She was talking about the hurricane relief telethon or whatever that was, the fundraiser, and she saw Barack Obama up there being so respectful to President Bush, and I just can't give him the same respect. I don't know. What did you just send me? Oh, this pic of the pic of Obama. Oh, yes, this is Sarkozy over here. Producer Robbie for the win. Just sent me this photograph. There's a 16-year-old daughter, Brazilian girl, at some meeting with world leaders. I don't know if she's related to somebody. And Obama and Sarkozy are looking at her rear end. Really gawking. We're going to put this up. Let's put this up on Facebook so people know what we're talking about. Okay. John Wolfe up next with the news. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're making radio great again. The voice of reason, voice of common sense, breaking down the day's issues. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, today's news, besides the Trump dossier that has now been revealed to have been paid for by the Democrats and by Hillary Rodham Clinton, her campaign, also big in the news, the discussions about the civil war in the Republican Party. And in my view, okay, this is just plain and simple wishful thinking on the part of the media and part of Democrats. And most importantly, actually, I think this is all too, these are Republicans who want to see Trump defeated, to see Trumpism fail, to see their party returned back to establishment, go along, get along, you know, bipartisanship and that type of nonsense, which is exactly, by the way, that is exactly the type of thing that voters didn't want and what led to the rise of a guy like Trump. And when I say a guy like Trump, I say a guy who is principled, who has positions. He sticks to them even when everyone and their dog screams about how terrible and heartless and unthoughtful they are. This is what people have been craving. I've always said it's a certain authenticity. But here you have, just to give you a little taste again, what was being said today in the news, Joe Scarborough foretelling the end of the grand old party as we know it.
What we're seeing here is it's political suicide. It's the coming end of the Republican Party where you are losing guys who are temperamentally moderate.
Right.
Who have 96% conservative ratings and can win like states in Arizona, which are shifting. And they're going to be replaced by conspiracy theorists who are going to get blown away at the polls.
That's such nonsense. And by the way, it's a patent falsehood about this 90% conservative. Yeah, 90% conservative compared to whom? Fidel Castro? No, this is 90%. He's talking about Flake. He is directly speaking about Flake. He's mentioning Arizona. And I've got it somewhere here. I'm trying to remember. I had it. It was yesterday. But at any rate, the Club for Growth, when Flake was a congressman, he had something like a 90-95% rating from the Club for Growth, which is a pro-free market group of people, a conservative group that ranks grades politicians, if you will, and they gave him a very high ranking. And then when he went to the Senate, he ended up being in under 50 or low 50s. Had a number that was below, if you can believe it, Mitch McConnell. What Scarborough is saying is just not true. What Republicans, quote unquote, Republicans like Scarborough and Republicans like Corker and Republicans like Flake want you to believe is that their version of the party is what America wants, what the voters want. It's not true. Their version of the party, if you want what Corker's selling, if you want what Flake is selling, you might as well just vote for Democrat. Republicans exist to represent a conservative point of view. When conservatives run as conservatives, they win. Now, maybe not in California, maybe not in New York, but they win in conservative states. Conservatism, the ideology, that wins. And I'm really sick and tired of Trump being made out to be some kind of fascist, because he's not. Trump embodies the spirit of Reagan more than any previous Republican president, any Republican president in between the two of them. I'll put it that way. And this is nonsense. And that's why you have people like Bill Kristol saying, I don't really care about the judges. And I don't really care about, tax reform. And I don't really care about the reduction of all these. What I care about is the debasing of this country. I care about this America first nonsense. I care about, you know what it is? The Republican Party, these establishment types, don't care about anything of substance. All they care about is their BS style. Their august ways and practices and the sanctity of the Senate chamber. It's such a load of crap. It really is. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner. This is the guy to call if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, motorcycle accident, scuba accident, I don't know, chariot accident. If you're riding a stagecoach somewhere and you get rear-ended by a guy in a Tesla. Well, it can happen. It's Southern California. Anything's possible. All right, what do? You call James because you know what? You don't want to go at it alone. You don't want to call the insurance company and be your own claims negotiator. It's not going to work. They're not going to take you seriously because guess what? They don't know you, but they know James. He has a reputation that can get you taken care of. So why would you even try to start doing it on your own? Give James a call. Have him and his team help you out. No recovery, no fee. You don't owe him anything until he gets you a settlement or gets you a verdict, a judgment, et cetera, et cetera. Do not worry also about the consultation. That doesn't cost you anything. It's all free. Just talk to him. Give him a call and let him take care of you. Know the number. That's the most important thing. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website. He's got a great website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And just to underline what we're talking about here, this narrative right now that there is a civil war in the GOP. No, we're losing some losers. That's what we're doing. We're getting rid of all the people that went full rhino. I said earlier, I don't know if you got the reference. It's a Tropic Thunder reference, and I'm not going to say what the line was in Tropic Thunder. But if there's somebody in the movie that may or may not be played by Robert Downey Jr. who says you never go full something. And I say, well, and I've converted it in the political sense, I think quite cleverly. If I can pay myself a compliment, you never go full rhino. You don't, because you know what? What's your brand? Who are you? If you've promised conservative politics to the folks at home and then you go to Washington and turn into a liberal, you know, great. You can do that. You're free to do that, certainly. But you're not going to get reelected. And don't you dare blame other people for it. By the way, that's not conservative. This is an important thing. I got to say this. Part of being a conservative is you own up to your own screw ups. You take responsibility for your own actions. And all I saw yesterday was a giant whiny crybaby. This guy, boo hoo for me, boo hoo that the mean world has left me behind. And you know who's not a crybaby? I'm talking about Flake, of course, with his swan song. You know who's not a crybaby? Ted Cruz, who's, by the way, Ted Cruz, do you remember some history here? No big fan of Trump, right? I mean, Trump went after his wife. I mean, and his father. And his father. It's like, if anybody ought to be bitter. But you know what? You know what Ted Cruz is? He's a man. He's a man. So here he is laying it out. People went, Mark Davis, you know, is talking about, they're talking here. This is the Mark Davis Show. They're talking about the last decade in the media, an elder statesman, what they are, these elder statesmen in the media. The elder statesmen he is referring to, okay, are establishment swamp fangs, okay? Listen to this exchange.
We spent the last decade with the media and Republican leadership saying the problem with getting things done is conservatives. It's conservatives. They're unreasonable. You need to look to the elder statesmen moderates who know how to govern. All right, big boys, we got a majority. And you know who it is who's screwing up governing? It's the so-called elder statesmen moderates. The conservatives are doing everything possible. I'm working day and night to lead the effort to get this done. And all the people who have piously intoned on television for a decade, they know how to govern, they're the ones mucking it up and stopping everything from being done. And that has got to change.
And those are the people that are getting lost, that are starting to lose primaries. Or the fear of losing primaries has them not even running for re-election. And I think this is good. It's political renewal. And we don't want these type of me. I'm the smartest person in the room. And by the way, we're going to be moderates and we're going to be reasonable. We don't want the if they're not getting it done. What do we want? We want tax reform. We want Obamacare gone. We want a wall. And if these people don't deliver it, out. Get them out of here. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. You don't go anywhere. You stay right here. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 8:55 Wednesday night. It's hump day. I can't say that. I found myself today at work. I was going to say hump day. And I thought, wow. All these sexual harassment allegations swirling around. I just wait for that to get turned around. You see, you got to be really careful out there. You really have to mind what comes out of your mouth. All right. But I can say it on air. I am not sexually harassing you. I am just trying to entertain you. That's all it is. You know who right now has some explaining to do? Speaking of the... What did Ted Cruz call them? The elder statesmen of the Republican Party that aren't doing anything. You know who has some explaining to do is McCain, because with one of the things, one of the forgotten elements of all of this is that McCain played a role early on with supposedly getting this dossier over to Comey. That's one version that is swirling around. Now, what to say of this? Okay, so you're McCain. You go out there and you lay your pretty little paws on this dossier. You hate Trump, the Trumpster. He is a loathsome creature. He's like the Grinch, you know? I mean, he's just a really bad dude. He smells of sulfur. And you go out there, you get this dossier, you give it, you set off this chain reaction, and it turns out to be a load of nothing worthless crap. Remember long ago, I think I coined the phrase Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, everybody's using it, or a lot of people are using it now, but I used it early on during the campaign, talking about Trump provoking reasonable people, getting them to do stupid stuff. Am I calling McCain a reasonable person? Right. What I'm getting at is this is going to be his legacy. How sad. This is pathetic. His legacy is going to be basically using his last, you know, days on this earth, productive days at least on this earth. He's a sick man. Doing what? Obstructing Trump and throwing around dossiers about golden showers. I mean, that is going to be McCain's footnote in history. It's sad. It's sad. And we're supposed to say, oh, yeah, McCain, he's the adult in the room in the Republican Party. If only the Republican Party could be more like McCain. No, not at all. He's senile. He's literally bat crap crazy. And he is absolutely besotted with rage over Trump. And that's the difference between him and a guy like Ted Cruz, for example. Who can put things to bed, let go of things, whether it's through his faith or he meditates, you know, or smokes peyote. He's from Texas. I don't know. Maybe he does that. But whatever it is, he's able to let go, chill, you know, chill, Ted, chill, let it go. I got elected to represent the people of Texas, and that is more important than my ego. And I think that's where we're going to leave it, because these Republicans out there claiming a civil war and claiming that Trump screwed them and all this stuff, it really comes down to their egos. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, we're going to be on briefly after the show tomorrow, after the game, the Kings game tomorrow, and then a full show on Friday. So let's do it. Talk to you tomorrow. Over and out.